This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Nutri-Medical Report. We have, for starting off the week, as I say, the ninja warrior of geopolitical analysis, Josh Bernstein. His own show is over at patreon.com, Josh Bernstein. Josh, we have lots of things going on this week. We have probably an invitation to Kim Jong-un. We have the Inspector General Horowitz and Ray, the FBI new appointed director, going to be before the Senate committee. We have lots of things going on, and the Uber left actually are so bad. We have some of the comedians and talk hosts out of Hollywood literally asking for America to fail because of they hate Trump so much they'd rather have America fail. And then, of course, the Democrats have gone crazy over this idea of separation of kids. Since 2000, and I think it's 15, we've had 200,000 families arrive here. It seems to me that this week these two bills, one or the other, is probably going to get passed, at least the House, and hopefully the Senate will not water it down so much that we actually have a bill that works that President Trump can sign. Where do you want to start? I mean, there's so damn much news now. Yeah, you get news fatigue. There's so much news, though, don't you?
Well, I think the Michelle Wolf one is where I would want to start. I think it's pretty disgusting that she put up a poll for her show that says, you know, if North Korea is successful and President Trump gets credit for it, do you want it to happen or not? And like 70% of her audience said no because Trump would get credit for it. That just goes to show you how anti-American the left is.
Well, and anti-life. They'd rather have a nuke blow them all to bits and go to hell, literally.
Yeah,
rather than have Trump succeed. They hate Trump so much, they'd rather spend the rest of eternity with the devil. How's that?
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. I couldn't agree with you any more than that.
That's psychotic. Political psychosis.
Yeah, I think that the summit's going to be coming up, I would say, somewhere around September or October is when Kim Jong-un will be visiting.
Yeah.
But again, only if he does the things that he's supposed to do per the agreement that they signed when they met in Singapore. The jury's still out on that, whether or not he's going to comply. I think that there's going to be other summits. There's going to be more communication. And to be quite honest, I think that video that he sent and actually made Kim Jong-un watch, which showed the two different Koreas, one of the past and one of the future, it wouldn't be surprised if President Trump wants, you know, a Trump golf course in downtown Pyongyang once he's done being president, or, you know, Trump International Hotel of Pyongyang. I mean, I could easily. Yeah, he's a builder. Look, he doesn't just build skyscrapers and golf courses. He builds relationships. And right now, the relationships is the most important thing that he can build. But as a builder, he sees opportunity. And you know what? He painted this picture to Kim Jong-un that you don't have to be stuck in the past. You can come into the future. You can become a financial power one day. But you just have to get rid of your nuclear program, and you need to come out of the darkness. So
I was riveted by the video. It was only a few minutes. But if I was Kim Jong-un, I go, wow, I want to go there.
It's an incredible video. It's an incredible video because it shows.
And it's totally Trumpian. This is Trumpian at best, isn't it? Trumpian?
This is the art of the deal, knowing how to negotiate. And thank God we have Trump to be able to do that, because there's no other leader, no other politician in our time that ever would have been able to get Kim Jong-un to sit down with him and meet face to face to discuss how to get rid of his nuclear program and bring him into the future. There's only one person in the world that was equipped to be able to do that, and that is President Trump.
Right. Now, you have lots of other issues. Well, let's pick your topic. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah, really. Well, the IG report was a total sham. It was the equivalent of Comey's exoneration, non-exoneration letter, in which he said that Hillary Clinton was extremely careless, gross negligence, she broke the law, she had classified information, but we're not going to indict her, okay? It was the same exact thing. The IG report was such a disappointment, such a disaster. Everything in here, I mean, to say that there was no political bias or fundamentally political bias is just insane to even
Isn't
think
it?
You had proof of it through Peter Stroke and Lisa Page's text messages. What else do you need? It's visual, physical evidence. And for him to say that there's no bias is just insane.
It's like 549 pages of indictments and bias. And the last page says, well, there's no bias. It obviously shows he's part of the deep state himself and the swamp.
Oh, no kidding. Absolutely. And, you know, the thing that really bothers me the most is that Peter Stroke and Andrew McCabe held on to the 300,000 emails on Anthony Weiner's computer till the very, very, very last minute, and at like the day before the election said to Comey, oh, by the way, there's 300,000 more emails that we have in our possession. And he's like, you do? And he's like, yeah, we do. But, oh, it's too late. You already exonerated her. These you-know-whats need to go to prison.
Right.
If they don't
go to prison, we know the swamp is alive. And after Trump, it's going to become a disaster in America and the world. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, right now, Horowitz is saying that Comey's under investigation. I don't want an investigation. I want an arrest. I don't need another stupid report 6 months from now that says that he was a bad guy, but we're not going to hold him accountable. Why don't we just arrest these people? We know that he is guilty of releasing classified information. It is a felony. Go down. He's a private citizen. Knock down his door. Grab him. You need probably a stepladder to get to his arms. Grab him. Tie him up and drag him into jail.
I don't understand why criminals are on book tours. Here we have Hillary and Comey on book tours. Instead of wearing orange in a maximum security or submax facility where they don't get yard time, internet access, or interviews, or able to write books and actually spew their garbage over in the criminal news network, the CNN. I don't understand it.
No, it's a criminal book tour. Who else is going to come out with a book that broke the law? We could have a criminal book tour. It's you're right. It's pathetic. It's pathetic what it is.
Well, it also shows that the arrogance of people like Clapper and Brennan and McCabe and so on, people think that, well, this is an anomaly, just a few bad guys at the top. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
This is a systemic disease that affects all aspects of our intel agencies, and they actually think they are the governing agency of the world. Not the Supreme Court, not the elected officials, not even the president. That they run the world. That's what it really comes down to. Even when they're out of office, like Brennan and Clapper, they're snapping their teeth at Trump like a bad dog, aren't they?
The worst damage, and I would say the worst assault on America, in America's entire history of existence, was Barack Hussein Obama.
Right.
That was the most damage, the most carnage, the most evil ever perpetrated against America. And it was an 8-year-long assault, and it culminates into the infected Department of Justice, the infected FBI, the infected intelligence community. It was the worst crime against America, worse than anything, worse than any war we've ever fought. The worst thing that has ever happened to this country was Barack Hussein Obama's presidency. That is an absolute 100%.
If he and Valerie Jarrett don't go to jail, this country is doomed.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, you look
and
at
And now he's got a Netflix thing. I saw the humorous so-called subtitles there that they've talked about these Netflix things that he's going to bring out. How obscene is it wherein this demonic whore, because that's what he is actually putting out Netflix things talking about how great he is. You know, how great I art. You should say, you know, like the play on the Christian song, how great thou art, how great I art. How's that?
Yeah, exactly. And I actually, I'm trying to find it now. I can't find it, but I have a thing on Netflix.
Yeah, amazing. Simply amazing. Keep your powder dry and get ready for the, as they say, the redcoats are coming. British intel agents like Steele apparently is going to do a video interview today, I heard, too. actually subpoenaed by the Russian, a Russian that actually is forcing him to go in Britain on a video interview.
There are new Netflix shows coming out.
Yeah, I know. You're going to have some fun with them. And attention all shoppers, Josh has the new Netflix shows, I think 5 shows, and you have some interesting takes on them. Please start.
Yeah, as a member of the media, sometimes I'm privileged to information that other people cannot get their hands on. And this information has been leaked to me by my source at Netflix. And so this is an exclusive look at 5 brand new shows. 5 brand new shows that are coming out that involve Barack and Michelle Obama on Netflix.
Oh, basically the Obaminator, I call them.
Yeah, first one is a remake of 50 First Dates. This is the remake of the Adam Sandler classic. It takes you on a journey from Barack's first love in Kenya to his days at Occidental College to his friends in the Chum Gang, to his many friends at Reverend Wright's church, to Larry Sinclair's apartment, to Reggie Love, and ultimately all the way to the White House. So this is going to be a fantastic look at the great lovers of Barack and Barack Obama's life.
Right.
The sixth one is called Barack and ISIL, A Love Story. In this documentary, set in the second half of his first term, we learn how the former president worked with the Muslim Brotherhood, worked with CARE, and the Free Syrian Army in order to topple moderate regimes in favor of course, more extreme ones. We also learn why Barack uses the word ISIL instead of ISIS and the meaning behind his symbolic gesture of pointing his finger up to the sky. And I'll give you a little break on that one. When he points to the sky, it means there's no God but Allah.
Right.
Now,
it's well known in Islam, it's an absolute symbolic gesture that you are a Muslim.
Yes. Now, the third show is called White is the New Black. In this reboot of the award-winning Netflix original classic, the show takes on a completely different turn. The remake actually focuses on how the Obama administration and Barack Obama himself played an instrumental role in the rise of hate crimes against white Americans and how white shaming has become a growing and acceptable trend on college campuses.
Right.
The fourth show is called Dreams from My Surrogate Father. This is the incredible true story of Barack Obama's only real father figure, Frank Marshall Davis, Communist Party ID number 47544. This biography follows a young Barack and his Communist Party mentor who raised Barack from the age of 7 to 18, his most formative years. And finally, I think this one's going to be the best one yet. It is called Barack Will Star in and Direct His First Major Blockbuster Action Film. It is a remake of the classic series Mission Impossible. In Mission Impossible, The Search for the Birth Certificate, Tom Cruise has now been replaced in the lead role by the former president, who takes on a very personal but to this date impossible mission to finally locate once and for all his long-lost birth certificate. So there you have it, folks. Those are 5 brand new shows that are going to be hitting Netflix in the very, very near future, produced and directed by Barack and Michelle Obama.
Isn't it disgusting? Now, listen, I got some interesting intel information. One of my listeners is actually a senior member of the Photo Intel part of the intel agencies in America and analyzes a lot of the video and photographic evidence that both the CIA and NSA and FBI use. And a year ago, he contacted me, a little over a year ago, that he had taken apart the so-called birth certificate of Barack Obama from Hawaii and actually had found the original birth certificate of the person that actually cloned it from and actually manufactured it. So even this birth certificate in Hawaii is actually a Photoshop manufactured entity. And so nothing about Barack Obama is real. Even his so-called marriage to Michelle Obama, who is a tranny, And the two kids are actually borrowed from a doctor and his wife, who are part of a who went to the same school in Chicago. Everything about Obama is completely a fantasy, and it's part of the idea of shaming Americans to believe, a lot of the Americans to believe, that Obama was genuine, that he really wanted to help black people or poor people. But in fact, everything he's done is actually done to balkanize America and get every different group or every shade of skin color or any different group of belief system against each other, which is un-American. Americans basically put America first and set aside their specific differences of skin color, of viewpoints, et cetera, and religion, so that we're all Americans. And that's what sets America, that by the way, that thesis that makes America great, like de Tocqueville said over 200 years ago, is the reason why America is great, is not because of just resources or good economic plans like Hamiltonian economics. No, it's because we are Americans first. Right?
Absolutely true. Yeah.
That's why we're superior to Europeans, even Asians. It's because we're Americans first. We are a polyglot of society, of every group of people that escaped tyranny everywhere else in the world and came to America, period.
The American people were fooled, but they were given, they gave Barack Obama a golden opportunity to be the number one change agent for racial harmony in America, and they gave him the greatest opportunity available of any African American in the history of the United States. And instead of taking the opportunity, embracing it, and creating better race relations, he purposely made things worse.
Well, you know, his brother came out and said that his grandmother was at the hospital in Kenya, and they even have tours where they tell you what hospital and where he was born, and his grandmother believes this. Even his brother, who's actually an accountant, who's both a Kenyan and an American accountant. So people have to start grasping here that everything about Obama is completely fake. Everything.
Yeah.
And his family were entirely deep state CIA, basically forever. These people are so sheep-dipped with the intel agencies, and that's why he is a product of the intel agencies taking over the government. That's what he's a product of.
Well, I believe that he was put up into the Senate in order to rise to the position that he was in. That was not a coincidence. That wasn't just something that happened, you know, sporadically. No, this was completely planned.
Look at his voting record. He even voted for post-abortion euthanasia of children up to 3 years of age in Illinois. I mean, this guy is a monster. You have to understand who he is. And even look at his chief handler, Valerie Jarrett. This woman is so dark and so scary. If you actually look into her background, and we're not talking about her looks, which is Roseanne mentioned, this is a very dark person who, in terms of her soul, not her skin color, and her attitude toward other human beings is disgusting.
Those who are with us will be rewarded. Those who are against us will have hell to pay. That's exactly what she said when they were elected.
Right.
And, well, Valerie, I've said this many times, she really was the president.
Right. He was just a puppet. He was the Obama-nokio.
He didn't go to the bathroom without asking Valerie Jarrett if it was okay.
Right. And now they have an eight-bedroom, eight-suite facility with a wall around it, 3 miles from the White House, still plotting and planning. And even now he's meeting with so-called prospective candidates for president in 2020. Behind the scenes, the deep state, Valerie Jarrett and Obama are trying to plan the coup against not only Trump, but against America and the world.
Yep.
It's very bad. It's very evil, and it needs to be stopped. They all need to go to prison.
Ex-president.
Welcome back. You know, my favorite part of that movie was that Trump said to Kim Jong-un that made him watch it was the pony racing across the water of the East China Sea.
Yes.
That was my favorite spot. I thought, whoa, if you're a kid, and you got to understand this in a sense, Kim Jong-un is just a very overblown, overfed kid. And he's not a stupid kid either. Remember, he had to take over. He's a real kid. And he took over. Remember, he went to school in Switzerland. He had lots of games, video games. He's an American cultural icon. He loves basketball. He loves
Disneyland. He's like a millennial.
He's a millennial, man. It's like, you got to understand who this guy is. He was forced by his father, who was a nut, and his previous grandfather's a nut, to actually take over this empire and act like a maniac, which he's done. But he's now gotten an oath with Trump. It's like meeting Jesus or Moses and saying, you can repent and everything is going to be okay. And the left are losing their mind over it, aren't they?
Dr. Bill, he's basically an SOB. He's a son of a boss. And those are the types of kids that are given everything. You know, they're handed everything. And he's like a millennial snowflake, you know, looking for a safe space. So when he ran up in front of a real general, a real business tycoon like Donald Trump, he wilted. And you can see it in the body language. You can see the fact that President Trump just commanded that meeting between the two of them. He was led around like a little puppy dog. Like,
and by the way, you see the same thing with Xi, who tries to act like he's some new emperor of China. When he's having his cake at Mar-a-Lago in Florida, you know that he knows that that Trump means business. And so although he kind of temporarily took the pressure off ZTE, the telecom company, the pressure's not off. If China doesn't deliver on intellectual property and reducing it by $100 billion at least this next year, China's in deep trouble. And they don't realize that we could pull a plug on China with just freezing their bank accounts of the four biggest banks that have been done illegal work with North Korea, and they're done. China literally will collapse. People don't know that, do they?
No, I don't think they
giant
do.
Giant paper tiger that somebody's got a match at the right foot, and guess who's got that match lit? It's Trump.
Yeah, and China, you know, they have $21 trillion in debt as well.
No, not 21. What I heard, the latest number is 23 and a half trillion, not 21. They got more debt than we have, and half of their businesses by their billionaires are shark loans over 20%, so they're highly leveraged. If there's even a little bump in the economy, all these billionaires in China are going to go bankrupt.
Yeah, absolutely. Over $100 trillion. In unfunded liabilities.
Exactly. They're gamblers, by the way. That's why Macau, and I have Chinese relatives, Macau is a bigger gambling place, and Chinese are bigger gamblers than Las Vegas. People don't know that, do they?
Well, there's a lot of gambling that goes on in China, yes.
Oh, yeah, it's big. If you go to Macau, it's bigger than Vegas.
But China's, you know, their middle class, quote-unquote middle class, is 400 million people strong.
Right.
You think about that. We're not even 400 million total.
And by the way, these are young people, often educated in the West. They go back to a totalitarian regime that treats them like crap. If you smoke outside, you can't get on a bus or train. If you make a bad comment that the MPLA can be, you don't even necessarily know that's a bad comment, but you can get raided. You can't even get a job, even if you're highly qualified and trained in a Western university like London or Canada, the United States, or Europe. It's disgusting. And we deal with these people that will abort a woman having a third pregnancy, even if it means she'll bleed to death and baby dies. This is the craziness of this country. Why do we deal with them? Well, guess what? We're going to do the same thing with China as we've done with North Korea. They're going to get their notice. And the thing is, the left and the globalists want a strong China so they can pull the wind out of America, because if you can destroy America, no nation will have borders anymore. It won't just be America. Every nation on earth would like what they wanted to do with Europe, because Europe is just a borderless super state. That's why they're having revolt now in Italy, Austria, and Hungary, and they're sick of it. They're sick of it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think it was Austria that I heard that they're going to start replacing their population. They're going to start moving the Muslims out and replacing them with Christians. I read that last
week. That's right. In fact, they're specifically, even the funding that Trump has set up, which wasn't under Obama. It was actually persecuting and allowing Christians to be killed in Iraq and Syria. And that's why they wanted to regime change Obama, because he's a closet Muslim, because the only government that was protecting Christians and Jews in the Middle East was Bashar al-Assad. The only one, period.
Well, Israel was as well.
Yeah, but I'm talking about other than Israel.
War situation.
Yeah, I'm talking about all of these Muslim countries, the only one. And the reason is, Bashar al-Assad is like a half-Christian, half-Muslim. He's not a straight Muslim like the Wahhabists and these maniacs in Saudi Arabia, who he knows is one of the primary causes of this problem. Again, remember, this was all hatched in London in the 1920s. Wahhabism was brought back to Saudi Arabia from Londonistan, and now we got this Afghanistani so-called mayor of London. This is incredible. God. And this guy is a maniac who supports terrorism.
The con job.
Yeah, that's right. You're good for it. You got the same view as me, Mr. Con, the con job there. And he's always got this face all screwed up, trying to think, I'm really real, I'm really a nice guy. No, you're a maniac and you're dangerous. How's that?
Yeah, and I did a report on him a couple months back, and one of the first things that he did when he became mayor was he removed all of the bus advertisements that had any women in any kind of bikinis or scantily dressed, wear clothes and things like that. That's the first thing he did. And then, you know, he has ties to terrorist organizations. I broke all that down. I have a video that I did. I believe the title is called The Con Job, if I'm not mistaken. On Mayor Con. And so people should go check that out and watch it, because I break it down. I show you the different people that he's been associated with when he was an attorney, defending some of these radical groups. He's got a nasty, nasty history that is tied deeply into terrorism.
He's a strong believer in Taqiyya and Maruna, which are basically some of the extremist Muslim edicts that you must lie to the profane, you must kill them if you can, and you must destroy or subjugate them with these things they did through Turkey. People don't realize all the seven churches of the Book of Revelation are now Muslim or don't exist. And the reason is the same.
And
people don't know that.
The crime rates have skyrocketed under his tenure. That is for sure. Terrorist attacks have increased dramatically under his tenure. And arrests for terrorism and violent crime has plummeted under
his tenure. Well, look at what they're doing to Robinson. They're actually putting him in a prison room that has a majority of Muslims, and this is a death sentence to Robinson. If he goes in there, the likelihood that some of the prisoners will kill him is extremely likely, because he was exposing that it's part of Islam in some parts of the world, especially Afghanistan, of rape of young boys that are prepubertal is standard, and it's not considered a sin in Islam. And the same also with the high-level British intelligentsia. They're all involved in pedophilia. And he was exposing all this. And they actually went, and without a trial, they put him in prison, and now they shift him to a prison where the majority are Muslims that will try to kill him in jail. So what they've done is a death sentence against Robinson. This is the death of liberty in England, isn't it?
It truly is.
That's why I call it Londonistan. I would never go back and visit there. I visited in 97, and I already saw how the place is being taken over by people from all over the world. But Islam never mixes with any culture at all. And the idea that Islam can mix in America or Europe or anywhere is insane. And the globalists
It is insane. If anything happens to Tommy Robinson, the judge that put him in that position should be prosecuted, removed from the bench, and arrested.
He should be prosecuted now. Why do we want to wait until he's dead?
I know. I agree.
Why do we want to wait? I think he should be doing something now.
Europe. But you're right. He should be. I mean, he should be immediately arrested. And, you know, if anything happens, I mean, I guess at this point, because if nothing happens, there's not much you can do other than the fact that if nothing happens.
I don't believe that. I think that I know enough of the law. I could get a law degree in a year. I can tell you I've been in court enough times. I can tell you what's going on with Tommy Robinson. The fact that they can throw him in jail without a proper court hearing, trial, or charges that are reasonable and rules of evidence is insane. This is a star chamber kind of courts. This is the kind of stuff that we got rid of in the Middle Ages.
I agree that, you know, his due process was violated. I agree that, you know, he was, you know, arrested on charges that he wasn't even allowed to dispute. So, yeah, you're right. I mean,
he was told you can't even have an opinion. If you have an opinion, like he was doing an op outside on I think, one of the media things. Since last segment, Josh, things are going to get really interesting. I think the turning point for Trump's presidency was the coming IG report and now the meeting with Kim. And the fact he's probably going to be invited to Washington, D.C. There should be a kind of a short movie made almost hilariously. One of my favorite shows on Fox is Greg Gutfeld. Sometimes his little skits are a little bit flat. Other times they're so brilliant, they should be making a compilation of these little skits. I'd like to see him do one of his little short movie things he does at the beginning of his show about Kim comes to Washington, D.C., almost like a play on some of the old movies. Mm-hmm. And honestly, whether you like Trump or not, and I think he's great, he is accomplishing things that no one else in the box could ever get done because Trump is out of the box. For example, he even surprised his own Pentagon and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he canceled the war games. It doesn't take any...
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did it. This is so brilliant because it puts it to China as well as Russia and North Korea. Hey, I'm serious. And he can obviously reactivate it like with one phone call.
Right, but, exactly. Yeah, he didn't cancel it. He just put it on hold.
He put it on hold. And what he did is, this is brilliant. It's like, oh, you can't do that. I'm thinking, look, it just happened a few weeks before the meeting. It's, you got 11 months left. I mean, if Trump is not satisfied that Kim is doing everything, and believe me, there's going to be a lot of communication back and forth. That's why he gave him his direct phone number to call the White House, to get him directly on the red phone. I think Trump is so brilliant, they need to write up exactly how he runs the presidency, so for a century from now, people want to learn how to do Trumpian presidential work, or even work as a leader of another country. They should follow his method of marketing, because that's what it is. The president is, in a sense, the chief salesman of America, isn't he? He's selling
it.
That's what his job is. People don't realize that. And he's also, we always had these politicians that are businessmen, but the primary thing you're doing, even when I do in medicine, is sales. I'm trying to sell people on their own health and trying to give them technology to make them better. And by the way, our sale is still on today.
Let me give you an example of how different President Trump is as opposed to George W. Bush and other presidents in the past.
Right.
Other presidents of the past, when they dealt with a problem, a threat, a national security issue threat, what they did is they tried to deal in diplomacy, but in the realm of political action. So in other words, they dealt with certain problems from a political standpoint. What President Trump has decided to do in dealing with the adversaries is he's dealing with it from a financial and business platform, basically.
Right.
So what he's saying is, we're not going to help you politically. We're not going to rewrite your constitution. We're not going to tell you to do this and do that. We're going to give you an opportunity to grow your country, to make your country better, to make your country stronger, to make your country come into the modern era and all that. And so the difference is the mentality of solving a problem using business approaches and business tactics as opposed to political approaches. And if Ronald Reagan did everything when he solved his problems politically, George W. Bush did it politically when they rebuilt Iraq and they put in, you know, their own guy, and then they changed the Constitution to allow for freedom. President Trump isn't doing that. President Trump is looking at this as a business opportunity, not just for America, but for the rest of Asia and for the world, because he understands that a country that is a superpower or a financial power, shall we say, isn't interested in bombing other countries and things like that. And it's just the opposite, because George W. Bush said years ago, countries that have freedom and political freedom don't attack each other. Well, now we're seeing a different version of that. We're seeing a different version of a country that is economically balanced and stable doesn't attack another country of the same ilk or the same type. So I think that's a difference that we're seeing right now that maybe people aren't pointing out.
Exactly, yeah. And in fact, what Trump is doing is saying, which is perfectly what he said when he campaigned, I'm not going to do a regime change. And I'm not, in other words, he's not trying to change countries which have had totalitarianism like Muslim countries or communist countries, but he's going to make them behave so that in the collective of nations, they can behave in a way that doesn't promulgate the danger of destroyed trade and increased chances of war. Because one of the things that people don't understand is trade is just a different aspect of war. That's why when you see the G7 nations meeting with Trump and having a fit, it's just a different aspect of war. It's economic warfare going on, but it's just a different aspect of war, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Trudeau was so upset his eyebrows fell off.
Well, maybe actually he's a Canadian version of Mr. Potato Head.
You know what? I think, and it's possible, I'm not going to say because I don't believe in conspiracies, but if you take a picture of Fidel Castro and you take a picture of Justin Trudeau and you put them side by side and you look at them very closely, including the nose and the shape of the eyes and the chin, all I'm saying is you never know. It's certainly a possibility because they do look very, very
striking. He doesn't at all look like his so-called father, Pierre Elliott.
Well, I've heard that his mother was, shall we say, a party animal.
A runabout.
She definitely had some interesting and fun times, not necessarily just with Pierre, if you know what I mean. And exactly. She did spend time in Cuba. And, you know, who knows what could have happened a hot Havana night. I don't know. But if you look at the two of them, there's some similarities there.
Right. Now, of course.
And maybe the eyebrows, he wants to look like that. I don't know, right?
Maybe God knows what. But I can tell you, the philosophy that I've seen in Canada, I talk to Canadians all the time. There are a lot of our customers. And they're disgusted with what's going on in Canada. You can't criticize Islam. You can't be pro-life in that country. You can't actually be a real super religious Jew or Christian or anybody. But you definitely can't criticize Islam. If you do, you go to jail. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. I was told actually when I went up there in 2000 on a TV network at It's a New Day Ministry that if I actually opened and made the statements I make daily on my show in America, I would have the RCMP come in and clap me in irons and take me out and shut down their tower for the radio television stations. So, I mean, people understand Canada is a disgusting mess, and you Canadians need to wake up and smell the coffee. Stop tolerating this. Vote in a conservative government. Get rid of all this crap about Islam. Stop having, and by the way, they're being flooded now with the illegals, and they don't know what to do about it, because Canadian law, actually, in terms of their allowing people in, is actually tougher than American. But they try to act like, well, you Americans will just take them all. No, we aren't. We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to, and I believe one or the other of these bills will get passed this week, and it'll go from the House. And I think you'll see Trump strong arm the Senate to make sure, like, hey, you Democrats said you always want a solution. You want to not separate children and their mamas. Well, guess what? There's a solution. You've got to vote for one or the other of these bills, and let's do it before the 2018 elections.
The only bill that's worth voting on is the Goodlatte bill.
Because
it gets rid of chain migration, which is a huge, huge deal. It gets rid of the visa lottery, which, again, is another huge, huge deal. And it's a hell of a lot less DACA recipients than the other ones. The other bills are horrible because they don't even have any border enforcement at all. Nothing. It says future border enforcement will be looked upon.
No, that's never going to happen. First off, I think this other bill was put forward by Ryan and some of these Rhino Republicans and Democrats, and they knew Trump wouldn't sign it because they want to embarrass him before the 2018 election. And they want to always say, well, it's Trump that's doing all this about separating mamas and babies. A lot of the people who are actually bringing these kids in are actually coyotes and so on, or MS-13 or drug cartel, and they're using the children as a front for actually bringing in drugs and other material, and they get giant fees for bringing these kids in, which they figure they'll use as a human shield to actually do their drug trade. That's what's going on.
Yeah, they're probably being paid by Democratic Party operatives, too, because they're future voters.
Right. Well, I think I call it dumb and crappy. The Democrats are committing geopolitical suicide because Hispanic people are getting fed up with bringing in criminals into their own communities and killing them. The people that are at most risk are people of the same nationality, the same part of the country. If you're from El Salvador and came here illegally, you don't want MS-13.
Right.
So, you know, and they're using the same playbook as they did in 2016 and they lost. They obviously didn't get the message. This is how you lose the Super Bowl of elections, of the federal election coming up in 2020 and the midterms. The Democrats haven't got it yet. They don't have a message. They don't have a hero. They don't care about the public. They just care about power. And that formula always loses when you have a bad candidate and you don't care about Americans, America, or anybody on earth. And you'd rather have America fail and people die in a nuclear war than let Trump get credit, man. You can't let him have credit.
Exactly. Isn't that sick?
It's sick. So when these politicians and comedians say this on air, I'm thinking, well, I start to retch. I can't believe it. But I guess I have to. It's real. It's hard to believe, but it's real.
That's true. Fortunately.